don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
All right, 30 minutes after 12 means it's time for us to ask a pastor, and we take your questions and we have a pastor answer those questions. And our question for today is for Pastor Genesis Mitepela. I'm hoping I'm reading that correctly. Pastor Genesis Mitepela is going to be joining us in a short while to talk to us about just that. Do forgive, I am coming down with a flu. I was with my boys this weekend, my sons, and two of them had a bit of a flu. And I realized that, I caught it too. So please, when you pick up the difference in my voice and how I speak, please forgive me. It is that flu, coming down with a flu. All right, our question for today is, why does God seem silent or absent in times of personal tragedy or suffering? Why? And I suppose the person who's asking this question is realizing that this very same God promised, I'm never going to be absent. I'm never going to leave you. But now he seems absent. And yet, he promised he would never be absent. He'd never leave. I'll never leave you, don't forsake you. Then why does... And I personally like the way the person who phrased this question phrased it, because they're not speaking in absolutes. This person is saying, why does it seem? Which makes it for me a genuine question, because that's how it seems, and we need the pastors and theologians to help us understand what we are seeing. And that's why we invited Pastor Genesis Mitepela to come and help us understand. Pastor Genesis Mitepela, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thanks, my brother. How are you? How are you, listeners?
Coming down with a flu, Mfundisa. I'm coming down with a flu, but outside that, I'm fine. How are you, Mfundisa?
I'm all right, my brother. I'm all right. No flu. Go away very soon. Do
in Jesus' name. In the name. In the name. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is why does God seem silent or absent in times of personal tragedy or suffering? What's your answer, Mfundisi?
Yes, I like the way you have just introduced it. You're saying he is not asking or phrasing this in absoluteness, but he's kind of suggesting something that is not real. That's why he's or she is using seems. So the truth is, yes, there are times in life when God seems so silent, when we're in tragedy and whatsoever. There are times like that, and we feel, and it is normal, my brother, let me put it that way. It is very normal to feel like that, especially for one who is in tragedy. It is very normal. But the truth is, God is never silent. That's number one. He is never silent. Why? I would say it might be us who might put God in a silent mode by not searching his word, which is his voice. Or else it might be that I don't know his voice. Hence, I cannot realize when he's talking or recognize his voice when he's talking. I'm saying so because as long as you read the word is his voice, and you continually hear him speaking to you and speaking to your situations. So this could be the only answer that I can give, my brother. It's not that God is silent. He has promised. He's, by the way, remember, number says that he's not a man who lies. What has promised, he will stand to it. And God has promised to be always there, and he's always there.
So this person, I'm glad, Mfundisi, you appreciate the phrasing of this person's question, because I found very interesting and insightful. So we have addressed the issue of it seems, right? But there are these things. You have addressed the issue of his silence. You said he's never silent. Mm-hmm. His word speaks, right? But now there is a part that I was hoping you'd address as well, the absent part. I'm asking about the absent part, because you've addressed the silent part, and now please address the absent part.
Yeah, Psalm 146, verse 1, it says that he is our refuge and he is our strength, a very present help, a very present, you know, the emphasis put by the word very, very present help means he is ever there. He is even more present than ourselves. He is present when we are not even present. So he is never absent, but the fact, sometimes because of tears in our eyes, my brother, we might not see him when he's present. It's because of situations that we see God being absent when he's present.
Okay.
That's my take.
I hear you, Mfundis. I want you, perhaps you might want to address the words of Jesus, because Jesus appears to have, or to disagree with you, to disagree with the psalmist as well, when Jesus says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? There, Jesus doesn't speak in probabilities. He speaks in absolute.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, Lord, have you forsaken me? He's not asking. He doesn't say it appears, as this person wrote the question, it appears as though you have forsaken me. No, no, no. He moves from the premise that the Lord has, his Father has, his God has forsaken him. And he moves from the premise, he doesn't even inquire about the premise. He simply moves to the next step of logic. He says, since you have done this, since you have forsaken me, why? Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which means Jesus disagrees with you. He disagrees with the psalmist as well. Jesus declares on the cross that God has forsaken him. Just clarify that for me.
Okay, thank you so much. You know, when this thing is happening, the death of Jesus, if you remember very well, he's saying, may you cause this cup to pass. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his Father, who is God. And then he's saying, but if you allow it that I drink it, let it be so because of your will. So in other words, he is actually addressing God in the human form, where when we are in a situation, we think that God has left us, yet he has allowed in his presence for such thing to happen. But one thing that we need to bear in mind, my brother, is that when bad things are happening in our lives, it doesn't mean that God is absent. God allows things which are bad to happen on us, even in his presence. Think of Job. And Jesus, the very good example that they've given to us, God was watching. And if you read the Bible and the SOP, it will tell you that God was watching, and the whole angel host was watching that happening. So he was there. The things were happening.
So Jesus was wrong when he said God had forsaken him. Is that what the pastor
is
saying?
No, he's not wrong. It is the context. It is the context of the conversation that is going on, not that he was wrong. If you read it from the surface, you may think that God, there is no way that the Bible contradicts with itself. That's why I'm saying, even, do you know that when they were in the boat crossing over, they thought that Jesus is not there when things were happening. That's why they looked for him until they saw him when lightning struck. He is there and it is happening. But in your situation, you might think that God is absent.
I'm just talking about Jesus now. Jesus is all-knowing, right? He knows.
Right.
But now you're disputing his knowledge. He knows that the Father has forsaken him, and he's asking his Father. And now we are stepping in between the Son and the Father. We're saying, no, Son, your Father has not forsaken you. And yet the Son is telling you that the Father has forsaken him. So help me understand how we are so confident to reinterpret what the Son says at the cross.
It is the word forsaken that might confuse us.
Okay.
Forsaken doesn't mean that he is absent. That's one thing that we need to know. And forsaken doesn't mean that he is not speaking. And that's why you see when you read in Luke chapter 20, we read in the book, the chapter 22, going the up way, when Jesus is in Gethsemane, actually what is happening is that God even sent an angel to come to Jesus, and the angel came. Then how will you interpret the term forsaken as meaning the absence of God in the scenario?
There were no angels on the cross, Mfundis. At Golgotha?
No, I mean,
there were no angels visiting Jesus.
No, this is not, this is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is exactly, I'm saying the angels have come. In other words, you know, this is what I'm saying. When you look at it, the Bible says the angels, he could just ask 10,000 angels. In other words, we are undermining the power of Jesus when we are saying he was forsaken and he could not help himself. Yes, yet he was God. He could have, but this was a plan, Moose. This was a plan.
No, Mfundis, that is not the contention. The contention is not that he was forsaken and he could not help himself. The contention is, according to his own proclamations on the cross, documented in the four Gospels, he, according to him, his own words, he says he was forsaken, and he wants the reason why. So it's not, there's no, none of us here have the authority or power to, okay, to say what Jesus did not say. We're simply taking what the scripture is saying. So I dare not put words in his mouth. I'm simply reading what the scripture says. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the word forsaken, by the way, means to abandon or leave. So according to him and the translations we are taking, he was abandoned by his father, his God. Now, he was left.
I think you've come home now.
Right.
You've explained the term forsaken. Forsaken, right, does not mean absent.
It means,
forsaken just means that you have been maybe abandoned or left. But when you have been abandoned, you can be abandoned by somebody who is still there.
This actually
does not mean.
Yes, go ahead.
God allows us to go through this. God allowed Christ to go through this in his presence, in his face, so that we may be saved. And God can also allow our brother, our sister to go through some situations,
right,
some tragedy, for a very good reason. When,
right,
he's watching,
right,
he's there. You get what I'm saying? He just let it loose that it happens. But that does not mean he's absent. He is there. Maybe it could have been worse if he was not there. It is in that state because he is present.
So if you're saying he is there, why did Jesus say he is not?
No, Jesus did not say he is not. He said, why have you forsaken me? And remember, he is talking to someone who is present. If then he was
so
not
Jesus
present,
was wrong. That's the issue, Mfundisi, that I need you to clarify. Jesus is saying, you have forsaken me. Why?
Okay.
Why have
Let's
you
come
done
back to
this? That's what I need you to help us understand. Because this person who wrote this question most probably is feeling something akin to that was Jesus was experiencing. This person is probably feeling abandoned or forsaken by his God as well. And that's what I need us to clarify. If Jesus felt the same way that we sometimes feel, we need perhaps to understand what was in his mind as the Son of God.
Okay, like I explained earlier on, that it is very normal that someone who is in a situation may feel forsaken. It's very normal for someone who is in a situation to feel like God is not present.
Right.
It's because he is in a situation.
Yeah.
And when you say such words in that situation, we will definitely understand what you are trying to express. It is the pain that you are expressing. In other words, you are actually just giving the depth or the magnitude of the pain that you are going through.
Right.
That this pain cannot take place in the presence of God. So God has just forsaken me to feel this pain. But forsaken, it's there. You can be, really, he was forsaken, like he's saying, but that does not mean he was absent.
That's what the meaning of
that's
forsaken means.
That's my argument.
The word forsaken means that, Mfundisi.
Meaning that you are absent.
Absolutely.
Not, yes, in literal form then. Not in literal form.
How do you...
That could be...
Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
Come.
No, I was going to ask, when you're saying it is not in literal form, how do we distinguish,
yes,
the forms of absence here? Because the text doesn't appear to be expounding on these forms. So where would the pastor get the forms of absence here?
Okay, this is my brother. You are right now, you are present to me.
Right.
But you are not here.
Okay.
Yeah, you are present, but you are not here. Even if somebody, I'm in the office right now at NZC. If I'm to go into another department's office and then they ask, where were you? I said, I was with my brother there on a chat.
Right.
You are present with me, but you are not here.
Yeah.
So if ever Jesus is talking to God saying, why have you?
Yeah.
Let's come to those. Who is he talking to?
To his God. It says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So he's referring to the El Yah deity.
Yeah. I want to say to my listeners, when you're in a tragedy, when you're in a situation, don't forget that he is waiting for you to talk to him like Jesus talked on the cross.
Right.
And Jesus talked straight to him because he knew he was present, even though he felt forsaken. And I want to say to my listeners, when you feel to be in such a situation, don't forget, don't undermine the prayer. He is present. That's my take. Because I wouldn't want to allude to the statement or the connotation that he is absent when somebody is saying you have forsaken me. Because whom is he talking to? Who is he talking to? He is talking to God. So if we are saying you are absent, then why is he talking to someone who is absent?
Wow.
I don't know. But it was not directed to the audience who were on the foot of the cross. It was directed to God, meaning that those who saw him, they said, who knew? They said he is talking to his father.
Right.
So meaning the father was present. That's my take.
Okay. I want to read a text message that I got from a listener, Mfundisi. Umametsi writes, "Hi Naya, Jesus's call is written that way. It is God's heart cry for the nation of Israel, why they have forsaken God. It is God crying to the Hebrew leaders, why have you forsaken me? We read it and think God has forsaken him. We think he is stricken of God." Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So what's your pastor's response?
That spiritualizing the text. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that. That's spiritualizing the text. The text is direct, my brother. I'm sorry to say so.
Okay.
It's Jesus himself talking, because he's saying Eloi. Eloi is not the house of Israel.
Right.
Right. Eli is not the house of Israel.
Right.
So, in other words, already there is the subject. You know, now Jesus is addressing to another superior power.
Right.
And that's why he's saying, Eli, my father, my father. So it's not about Israel right now. It's just between God and Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, the moment we go that route, we are now spiritualizing the text to mean what we think it means.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Umametsi, I'm hoping you're hearing the pastor's response there. So I don't want to respond on behalf of Umametsi. But I'm curious, Mfundisi, when you're saying you're spiritualizing, surely we are not saying there are parts in the Bible that are not spiritual. Everything is spiritual in the Bible, right?
Okay, spiritualizing actually in the sense that we are saying it's not real.
Okay.
It's not real. It's not what he meant. Like, for instance, if I can preach to you about the donkey and Jesus, and I say the donkey that is being referred here is you, and Jesus must climb on you and get into the world with the message Jesus on you. So Jesus wants to use you as a donkey. That's spiritualizing.
Oh, you theologians call that eisegesis, yeah?
Yeah, that eisegesis, actually putting the meaning into the text,
right,
which is not there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So let's conclude, Mfundisi, by then clarifying. So this person says, sometimes it appears this way, and I would like to argue that we also see that. We sometimes feel like God is absent and is silent. Now, your first answer was, when you read the Bible, God is speaking. Did I hear you correctly?
Really, if when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you.
Yes.
So, and when you pray to God, you are speaking to God.
Right. So would that not be eisegesis as well, for this to say when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you?
No, it is his voice. But if remember, with the Bible, it puts it clearly in John chapter 1, verse 1. You go through whatever it's, and even if you take Romans chapter 10, verse 17,
right,
you will understand that faith comes by hearing. So, in other words, what are we hearing?
Mm-hmm.
The word of God. And what is the word? Word comes from it actually comes through the voice.
Right.
Yes, so I'm not spiritualizing. I'm very literal.
Okay.
I'm very literal. We continue reading our Bible, my brother.
Yes.
We will continue hearing God speaking to us, because most of the answers that we seek are already there in the Bible. We just need to unpack them.
So here's the final part, Mfundisi. The final part is this apparent, this seeming silence of God.
Yes.
We don't see this seeming silence and absence in good times. We only see it in times of tragedy and suffering. It appears as though he's present in good times, but in bad times he forsakes us. Just address that part. Why does it seem we can see God, we can see the hand of God in good times, but we cannot see the hand of God in suffering and tragedy? Just address that part.
Yeah, many times when we are in suffering, God carries us. We don't walk by our own. And the fact that we are getting somewhere, well, at least we are carried, we don't understand it, and we think that we walked by ourselves. There is nobody who can carry himself through a tragedy. There is nobody who can carry himself through a trouble. Only God does that. So if the moment you are seeing another set of footprints by your side, things are okay. But the moment you see a single set of footprints when you are walking, it's not you, it's God's footprints, and he's carrying you in as much as you don't see it. So this is very important to know, Moose. God will always take us through. The reason why, Moose, we sometimes see it in times of our tragedy and our problems, it is because we hate that. We hate the pain. We hate the pain. We always want. And this one thing that when God is allowing us to go through the pain, he wants us to grow. And we hate that growth process. Hence, we think God is not there.
Okay. Okay. Did you just quote the poem Footprints in the Sand? Did you just quote that poem? Go ahead, Vunisi.
Yeah. You know one thing that maybe as we finish this,
yes,
I want our listeners to know this. That which does not kill you makes you strong.
Right.
And if Israelites were made to make bricks by whatsoever the description is given, I want us to understand that God was preparing them for the 40-year journey in the wilderness.
Right.
And God allowed them to go through that. It is not because he was not there. He was actually there giving them the strength to exercise and build up the muscle. The same happens to us today when we get into trials and these situations that we cry of. God is there giving us the strength to see each day coming and each day going so that we can build the strength for the time to come.
Right.
Yes.
Mfundis, let me use the remaining minutes perhaps to share with you a thought that I had. Since you have quoted the poem Footprints in the Sand, we may as well delve into some of the biblical nuances that come from that. I want to read Psalm chapter 77.
Yes.
Psalm chapter 77 says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as you are? God. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples with your mighty arm. You redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Did you hear that part of this?
I hear that.
Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, I'm quoting this whole chapter because at philosophy class at varsity, we had this whole idea when people were quoting this footprints in the sand, where we were suggesting that cannot be correct in the biblical context because God is a God that works and his works are unseen. We never know. So to quote Footprints in the Sand would be a secular philosophy, but in scriptural philosophy, you'd God's works are unseen and his footprints quite literally are never seen in the sand. How do you respond to that, Jovanis?
Okay, thank you so much. I think by quoting the footprint in the sand, I want us to understand that there's this lesson that we need to take out of it.
Right.
That the moment it was the footprints in the sand, it's just bringing out that the moment we are going, struggling, and we see ourselves going forward, it is not us. We can't care ourselves.
Right.
So in other words, it is not, it's metaphorical in its bringing up the lesson that we should take. You get that?
Right.
But it's just a matter of saying. But one thing that I want us to understand also, it is the context in which David is putting it. Because one thing, the reason why we cannot see God's footprints is because we don't know his ways, because they are different from our ways.
Hmm.
So the moment he puts a footprint, we'll never get to understand. That's the reason why you see our listeners are saying, it seems he's not there.
Right.
Why? Because they cannot see the footprint.
Mm.
But the fact that you are being carried on, even when you are crying, when you've lost the family, when you've lost your husband, when you've lost the job, when you've lost the marriage, as long as you see yourself seeing another day and letting it go, then it means God is carrying you. That's actually, this is, we can't, it's a secular poem, yes, but it gives us some kind of understanding on how God operates.
I understand.
That the moment is too hard, he carries us. In as much as we may not see his footprints, but he carries us.
I'm with you on the sentiment and the point that the author is making is fair and well. What I was contending with, Mfundisi, is the application in the Christian and biblical context. That application is not correct. It's well and good to talk about the attributes of the Almighty who is always there. And here the psalmist in Psalm chapter 77 declares how God is always there even when we don't see him.
All right.
And I believe the theory here is we should not expect to see the footprints, but we must believe that he is working it out for us, even when we don't see the footprints. I think that was the point that the psalmist was making. Say that again, Mfundisi.
But sometimes they can be seen.
According to the psalmist's verse 19, the footprints are never seen or when not seen.
Yeah, but what is he remembering?
The things that he
what is done. He that remembering? He remembers things that God has done.
The solutions.
Did you see that?
Correct.
He saw that.
Yeah, the thing, the solutions God has brought.
I wouldn't want us to leave it that closely, like we're saying, footprints cannot be seen. You are very right that we should not base our faith on things that are seen,
right.
Even if we don't see it. Still, we must continue with our faith because he is present, even if we don't see.
Right.
But there are things that can be seen that God is doing in our lives. I think you will live and testify. That's the reason why we have testimonies, because I've seen it.
Right. No, the issue is not... The issue, Mfundisi, is not necessarily that you cannot see his solutions. The issue is, while you are in the problem, you will not see it. Just like the three Hebrew boys did not see the fourth man, though the fourth man was there, but they did not see the fourth man. Yeah.
No, yes. Now it's relating very well, and now I concur.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it right there. I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi.
Thank you, my brother. Have a good day.
Ngosi Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.